Welcome to Rock Sunday, everybody. I know some of you, how many of you look forward to Rock Sunday? Okay, how many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay, so we have a Kaneo Church tradition that's been going for about 5 years, and what it is we ask the Lord for one word, one little word, to represent what he wants to do in and through our lives in the coming year. Now, for some of us, this is like, well, of course you would do that. And then others of us didn't grow up listening for the Lord, believing that he speaks. You know, that's a long time ago. Is he really going to talk to me? I don't know. So I've noticed over time that this discipline has been a developing one, where we're developing a listening ear as a church. And we're saying, Lord, help us to hear you and help us to know what you want to do in our lives. Now, here's a question. If you're a parent, if your son or daughter comes to you and says, what do you think I should focus on this year? Odds are you're going to want to have that conversation with them rather than say, come back later, talk to the hand, right? You're going to love that kind of conversation. God, our Father, is a better parent than we are. Amen? Do you believe that? Some of you are like, well, I don't know. I'm pretty good. But if you come to him and say, Lord, what do you think I should focus on this year? What do you want to do in my life? Why would he not tell you? Why would he not give you an idea of what that looks like? And over time, I feel like some of us have been developing this hearing, this humble willingness to say, Lord, what is it? And whatever that is, I'll do it. But I do want to challenge you with this. Some of you may come into it just feeling like, I don't know if I heard right last year. I don't know if I can hear him right now. I'm feeling a little hesitant about that. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But I do want to say this. Just slow down your beating heart and just say, Lord, would you just meet with me during this next half hour? And if you want to show me what this next year looks like, great. And if you want it to take longer than that, that's fine too. And don't let yourself get all worried and nervous about it. I shared with some of you 2 years ago, it took like 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, of me frustrated. And everybody else is bragging to me about their words, and I had no idea about mine. I'm the pastor. I'm like, are you serious? And eventually it came, but and some people, I know that Doris, she got her word in like August. So it's the Lord's timing, but just allow the Lord to be the Lord. We are not the Lord. Amen? Okay. So here's something really neat. Rock, this whole idea of picking a word and writing it on a rock is spreading all over the place. And I don't think it was originally our idea, but it's interesting how a lot of our friends and neighbors and other churches have started doing it. In fact, this is Bob, our missionary in Kenya, and this is their Rock Sunday. So his team that's with him in Kenya, these people are with him for 2 months. They all wrote a rock for what they feel like the Lord wants to do in and through their lives in the coming year. Isn't that beautiful? So before we move on, I want to do something a little different. If you have a bulletin, would you please grab it? And grab a pen that's nearby you in the pew. So how many of you got a word at the beginning of 2018 or at some point in 2018 you had a word? Raise your hand real high. Okay. Would you write that word right here at the top of that gray box on the back of your bulletin? And if you don't have your bulletin, you can use your notes on your phone. Here are some bulletins coming down. Raise your hand if you don't have one. Now, if you were not part of Kaneo, because many of you are new and you didn't receive a word, maybe just a word that represents what you feel like God's been doing in your life this year. Maybe it's repentance, maybe it's forgiveness, maybe it's just growth or faith or trust or something. Just write some word down there, okay? So here's the next question. Did you do your part? Because sometimes, if you're like me, I know going into January, like, this is it. This is the year of faith. And then in March, I forgot it. And then in April, I remember it. And then in May, I forgot it again. And it just keeps coming back. So the second question is, did you do your part or not? Because how is he going to do his part if we're not showing up? Have you ever heard that quote, like 80% of life is just showing up, right? And then here's the last question is, how did you grow? So what's the word? Did you do your part? Yes, no, maybe. Or you can give it a score of 1 to 10. I got a 6 this year on doing my part, okay? And then how did you grow? Okay, take one more minute. We're not going to take long on this. But sometimes in our lives, we never stop and evaluate. We continue charging forward and we don't say, what has the Lord already done, right? Okay. In fact, that was Doris's word. I think she's still sick, right? But her word was Ebenezer, which means the Lord has carried me so far. And I feel like this is a good moment when we stop and we say, how far has the Lord taken us? So my word for this year, for 2018, was friend. And it's interesting, I picked out a rock. It was a nice, shiny, pretty one. And I wrote, I was going to write on it. And then I turned it over and I noticed it was shaped like a heart. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And I wrote the word friend on it. And I kind of struggled with that a little bit because growing up to me, I wasn't that comfortable with the idea of God as friend. It was more like, you know, grandfather who, you know, loves me, approves of me, but it sometimes looks at me with the scowling, judgmental eyes and like, you should do better, kind of a relationship with God. But I feel like the Lord wanted to grow me out of that this past year so that I could understand his friendship, that he wants to be close with me. Not just looking down on me, but looking at me. Does that make sense? And that we're looking at each other. And I feel like I can't check it off for this year. I can't say, oh, well, got that done. Friendship with God, check. I feel like more the word for me this year was an invitation to a life, to growth over many years. And so sometimes what happens with our words is they build on each other. And sometimes they keep coming back as a recurring theme. And for me, it's a theme that I want to continue on, that the Lord wants me to continue on in my journey with him. Does that make sense? Okay. So there are, let's get into rocks, since we've called this Rock Sunday. And the whole idea of the rock is that in Scripture, rocks have a lot of meaning, but often they're a memorial. They're a remembrance. There's something that you trip over, something that is obvious, something that in Old Testament was by the side of the road and you'd walk past it and describe, oh, this is what that means to your kids. So what we do with our word is we write it on a rock and then put it in an obvious place so that you come back to it. So it's a rock of remembrance in your life. But let's talk about rocks. So there are lots of stories of rocks in the Bible. You remember Joshua crossing the Jordan River at flood stage. And this is a great miracle that the children of Israel crossed. And then the Lord said, I want you to take a stone out of the middle of the river for every tribe. So 12 guys went in and carried a big stone out, and they built a pile of those stones to remember God's goodness in that place for generations. And then we talked about the Ebenezer stone, and that was the victory in a place of defeat for the Israelites. And in that place of defeat, they finally had victory, and they said, we're going to set up a stone. Samuel did. God, look, you've taken us this far, meaning you're going to keep taking us, right? And then there's this huge theme throughout Scripture of the Lord is our rock, not just a rock about him, but he is that. He is that strong. He is that powerful, that unbreakable. Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. Now, some of you may need to grab on to just that. And as you go into this coming year, you got some fears and you're like, you need that. Grab that verse, write it down, and carry it with you. Jesus is also referred to as a rock over and over and over again, Old Testament and New Testament. In other words, before he was even born, the Old Testament is talking about how he's going to be a rock. And here's what I mean. I never realized until I started studying for this morning how this theme is all over Old Testament, New Testament. So I hope this blows your mind. I was like, are you serious? Okay, look. So the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You've heard that before, right? Did you notice it's all over the place? I had no idea. I thought it's like an Old Testament verse. I went to seminary and I didn't know this. So I should have taken this class. So, but I love how this is in the Psalms, it's in the prophets, it's in the Gospels, it's in Acts, and it's in the letters. This must be important. Am I right? Okay, look at the next one. So the next one is, I lay in Zion a stone. And it's interesting, it causes people to stumble if they don't believe, but the one who believes in him will never be shaken. So for those who don't believe, Jesus is this rock that people can trip over or that can be dangerous, is what he's saying. But for those who believe, it's the strength of God. And look at that one. That is all over Scripture as well. Now, a lot of these, if you notice, one common verse, 1 Peter, has both of those ideas that come together. And so Peter, remember, outspoken disciple of Christ, the guy who always had his foot in his mouth? He wrote our book, 1 Peter, and once he got his act mostly together. And where I'm going to read some of 1 Peter to us today. And I'm going to cover quite a bit of ground in Scripture. So I hope, is that okay if we cover a little bit of ground? But I really feel like there's a great purpose in this. And so don't think blah, 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 the pastor's preaching, you know, talking about Scripture. No. These are God's words, and they're to you. Okay? God's words to who? Okay. So we're going to look at those verses in 1 Peter 2 in a minute, but I was noticing in 1 Peter 1 some verses that are about you and about 2018, this past year that we've come out of. Look at this, 1 Peter 1, 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, I feel like many of you have been on a journey this past year to get things right with the Lord, to grow in him and to be serious about your faith. And then it says, so that you have sincere love for each other. Now that you have that, love each other deeply from the heart. I have seen in you love abounding, love stretching, love going beyond what's natural and normal for Thousand Oaks human beings. There's something happening in you where you supernaturally are looking out for each other and you're taking care of each other. You're actually meeting each other's needs like the Bible talks about. Can you imagine that? It is possible in this day and age for believers to love each other the way the book talks about. And you're doing it. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable, that means temporary seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Again, this is his word, not mine, and it's to you. So he is pleased with your growth, with your progress, with your love. And then notice where it goes now. This is interesting. For all people are like grass. Their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and fails, but the word lasts forever. So if we think of ourselves too highly in 2019, and we go, I'm going to accomplish this and this and that and this and that. In the Lord's eyes, you are a beautiful flower that comes and goes, right? My dad preached a number of years ago using a can of Lysol, right? Or maybe it was bathroom freshener, okay? And so there's a verse that says your life is a mist and then vanishes. And so it was kind of neat how he would spray it and then say, like, Naomi, that was you, right? Psh, Peter, that was Destiny. Psh, there you're there, and then you're gone. And the whole idea was, smell good while you're here. Right? You get to leave one scent or the other while you're here on earth. Amen. So life is temporary. Amen. But the Lord has beautiful plans for you while you are here to get you ready for when you're going to be with Him. Okay. And then it moves on into 1 Peter 2, and it says, therefore, and whenever there's one of those, we ask what the there is for, what the therefore is there for. Rid yourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Rid yourself of all the junk that brings you down. But like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. So if a baby's hungry, do you know it? How do you know? Because they're PO'd, right? They need what they need right now. So those of you who are fairly new in the faith, don't be patient with us. Let us know when you need something. Let us know that you don't understand something. Be part of this class, this alpha process that Kenny and Wendy are leading, because there's something about helping you grow quicker and giving you what you need. And then it says, by that milk you grew up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And that's that verse that we shared down in Mexico. Okay, so the context so far is, God has grown each of us. He's grown us together as a body. He's brought love. He's brought commitment. We've been born again. His word lasts even though we don't on this earth, right? So we have some of that. And then he says, and now, with all that, as you come to him, and who's him? Jesus, who is called the living stone. That's where that last name comes from, Livingston, right? Rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. What do priests do? They offer sacrifices, right? Acceptable to God through Jesus. Not because of us, not because of your righteousness, because you're so holy and so religious. Because of Jesus. He's the living stone. And it's interesting that right here, Peter says, so are you. He's living, he's active, he's powerful, he's strong. And so is Bo? Yes, that's what it says. And then he talks about the verses that we read earlier. Verse 6, see, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame, right? And then verse 7, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And then look down at 9, one of my favorite verses. I don't know if this is one of your favorites also, but you are a chosen people. Think about this as you look at 2019. What if these were your marching orders for this next year and it wasn't, I got to get in shape? What if it was, I got to spend less money on, you know, this or that Amazon, okay? What if it was this? I want to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And why? Not so I feel good about myself, not so that I'm fulfilled, so that I can declare the praises of him who saved me, who called you out of darkness and you into light. Because you are not who you used to be. You are new in him. Can I get an amen to that? I'm looking at you, Chris. You are not who you used to be. You are new in him. He called you into his wonderful light. So Jesus is the cornerstone of your life. What does the cornerstone do? The cornerstone decides the direction of the building. East, west, north, south, right? It also decides the level of the building. It does a whole bunch of things, and the building orients itself around that stone. If that stone is screwed up, what happens? right? The whole thing is a piece of work. Now, thankfully, our cornerstone is not messed up because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So he is the perfect cornerstone. Who he is makes you who you are. Who he is makes us who we are. Because these verses are written to all y'all. They are not written to just you. So you can't just take 1 Peter and go, it's me and Jesus. I don't need any of you guys. I got this. That's not how it's supposed to work. We are living stones being built together to be a temple and a priesthood in him. So let me give you a picture of what I mean. Our family goes up to the Redwoods every summer to a place called Mount Hermon. And beautiful place. And it's right near Santa Cruz in the mountains. And on the left is our cabin from 2 years ago. And you'll notice right up on the left side are some huge trees to the left of the chimney. So in the morning, there's a deck out there, and I would literally get my cup of coffee, and I would get a sweet roll, because I like sweet rolls, and I would lean against the tree. And this tree is like, yeah, it's like 15 feet around. And I'm just leaning against a redwood tree that smells so good, having my coffee, just stoked about life. And then on the right, we walk every year through a grove of gorgeous redwood trees. And let's look at the next slide. So here are my girls learning how, you know, Stacy's teaching Bella how to take photos on the left of the redwoods. And then on the right, this is what I wanted to show you. They're in a circle. Did you notice that? So redwood trees do not have deep roots. They have wide roots. And they are 300 feet tall, some of them, which makes them very, very susceptible to wind. But they do not tip over because their roots join and intermingle, usually in circles, where they all work together to be strong. In fact, the roots grow up above the surface, and you can walk around on the root system that has made them into one tree. Interesting, right? This is a picture to us. Sometimes we get in our minds like, okay, we're all stones. We're being built together. It's like my wall in my backyard where I've got this stone on this stone. No, living stones, organic, dynamic, growing, changing, thriving, moving together, becoming one is the picture in Scripture. More like trees. It's something where the Lord integrates you into his life and we become integrated into each other's life for strength over time. So the wind of life does not tip you over. And I'm telling you, this is a great metaphor for your life. I'm looking at some of you because I know you've experienced this. You try to go it alone, your roots aren't that deep. You need each other, or you will be in big, big trouble. Okay, enough about that. I want to encourage you, though, to be intentional, because there are certain times of the year when you kind of stop and evaluate. January is one of those times where you look at your life patterns and you say, I wonder if I'm doing this all right or if I should add or subtract or change anything. Right now is a chance when you can be intentional in relationships where you can say, hey, in this coming year, I should probably be part of a community group. Hey, in this coming year, I should probably reach out to other people and let them be in my life. I should probably have lunch with somebody today after the service. Oh my gosh, really? Yes, you should do that. And if you want to know more about joining a group around here, this is Jason Hurst. So he is our community group's champion. And he would love to help you get connected with a group here. And there's a money-back guarantee. So if it doesn't work out, we will give you everything back that you have invested. That's a joke. But anyway, let's look at 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5 again. So Jesus is not just a rock to build on. He's a living stone. So he's not just a belief system. Christianity is not the best of the different philosophies. It's all based on a person and whether you will know him or not. That's a whole different ballgame than, do I understand how the system works? Am I giving myself to a way of thinking and doing? Our relationship with him is not supposed to be boring. It's not supposed to be static. It's not supposed to be predictable. What are you laughing at? Many of you have approached your Christian life like this. I'm bored again, right? The world looks at Christians sometimes as boring people, and I think that's because not enough Christians have been completely open to what the Lord wants to do in their lives and have not been in that dynamic conversation daily. Lord, what are we doing today? Now, how many of you have found the Lord to be unpredictable? Okay, I want to say this. You have experienced the Lord. If he's really God, I can't put him in a box. If he's really God, he's going to do some things in my relationship and in my walk with him that are going to be surprising and uncomfortable. And I'm going to say, really? And he's going to go, yeah. We've done that with our own kids, we who are parents. We have surprised our kids and not given them everything they want and not done everything they wanted for their own good and for their own growth and benefit. There's something about knowing the Lord that is exciting. And I'm going to quote my dad again. He used to say, faith is fun. And it's supposed to be fun. Amen. Following Jesus should be the most exciting part of your life. Not the add-on, not the, yeah, I'm a Christian. No. How cool would it be if this year you were just available and said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm ready. I love you. I trust you. I want to know you. I want to go on this journey with you. If it's a roller coaster ride, that's fine. If it's steady as she goes this year, that's fine. But what about just being willing and available to that? Not to having a passport to heaven someday when I die. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts now. But sometimes we mess that up and we just think, well, as long as I'm not too bad and as long as I said yes to Jesus at some point, this will all work out in the end. What a terrible way to live. The Lord has invited us into real life in him, real dynamic life in him, the living stone. And he's called you a living stone who he wants connected to him in every way. And so he and you are together like the roots of that root system. So the question for each of us is our life truly connected to him in a living, thriving way or not? And incidentally, I want to call out Annie Barber. Raise your hand. So Annie has done a bunch of thinking, a bunch of prayer, a bunch of writing about what is it like to be in conversation with the Lord? What is it like to have an ongoing conversation with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So if that intrigues you, take her out to lunch or have a conversation at the donut table and just get to know that whole thing. Or if you say, I don't even know if that's possible, just talk to Annie. She will convince you. Okay. Here's the next thing. How do you know if you're connected or not? Conversation. How do conversations happen? Two ways. Okay? Conversations one way are not honoring to one of those people, right? So two-way conversation is how our faith works. So here's how conversation works. Prayer and Bible study. And when I say Bible study, some of you are like, No, understanding Scripture, understanding God's words that are living and active, understanding that I'm temporary, his word is not, okay? So how many of you like it when the cell towers go down and your phone does not work at all? Okay, bad question. Have you ever had that experience when your phone does not work and you really need it to? Okay, so many of you went through 2018 without cell towers in your spiritual life. So you're not getting any messages out because your prayer cell tower is down. You're not getting any messages in because your reading God's word cell tower is down. It's time for the cell towers to go back up in our spiritual lives so that we can have a vibrant walk with the Lord, because he's living and active and communicative. And he does not play hide and seek with you and make it really, really hard. So he gave you this so that it would be easier for you to live life. And then what do? You put it over there and you go, I got this. No, you don't. You do not got this. I know that's not correct English. You don't have this is correct English. But you don't got this. Just feels so much better to me. So make sure that you are waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, what's today about? That's conversation. If you're a good husband or wife or friend, you're going to do that with your husband or wife or friend. You're going to say, hi, how are we doing? If you're not doing that with the Lord, I don't know if you have a relationship with him. Seriously. If you're talking with him, that's a good sign of relationship health. Another one is this. Are you listening to his word daily? And for many of us, maybe you're not. Start now. And here's what's going to happen. You're not going to fall for tricks of the enemy this year. You're not going to do as many stupid things this year. And you're going to be growing like crazy in your faith with him this year. And if you cut that off, that cell tower, it's not going to happen. Here, let me tell you what I mean. I've had a couple of men come to me this year and say, I'm thinking of leaving my wife. And I was literally like, what, come again? Like, where do you see that in the Bible? You don't see that in the Bible, right? I've had a couple of people come to me this year and say, I don't think God can help with that. I don't think he can heal me. Where do you see that in the Bible? You don't see it because it's not there. I've had people come to me with all kinds of crazy stuff, crazy ideas, big doubts, big problems, big challenges that are really clearly spelled out right here. I was listening to a recording by Jim Cymbala at Brooklyn Tabernacle, and funny guy. And he had a lady come to him in his church, and she said, oh my gosh, Pastor, the next door neighbors, they do voodoo. And they have been calling down curses on me, and they even put a chicken outside my door, and so he said, lady, read your Bible. Curses have no rule over you. You're fine. In fact, get some curry and cook up the chicken. But what's funny is we run scared rather than listen to the word. And we've got to start this year right. We've got to start this year in his word and in open communication with him. So two things I want to ask. You can do this physically or not, but knees before feet in the morning. Knees before feet. You're starting every day saying, Lord, this is your day. It's not mine. That will change a lot. Okay? You will have a different perspective going into everything that the day throws at you. And rather than saying, Lord, why are you doing this to me? You will say, Lord, how are we going to go through this? And then here's the other thing. I want to challenge as many of you as will say yes to read through the Bible this year with me and with a bunch of us that are leaders. How many of you have a phone? Some of you are lying because I know you have a phone. So there's a thing called the Bible app. And there is an app on that that helps you read through the Bible in a year. And I haven't noticed this before, but it's written by the guys that did Alpha. And it actually gives a little bit of a context for how these things fit together. And it'll help you get through the whole Bible in a year. Now, here's the challenge. I want to challenge you to get started and give it a shot and do as much as you can. And if you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't read, that's fine, just read some. Some is a whole lot better than none, right? And so the enemy would be like, you didn't read your four chapters, Randy. And he'd be like, I know, but I read one. And I spent some time with God, and he's blessing me and growing me. Get out of my face, enemy. I got stuff to do, right? So I want to challenge you. We're going to put this on Facebook so you can link to it. And then there's a way of leaving notes. So when you are reading it, when it's impacting you, when you're learning stuff, you can hit a note, you can write a word, and you can make it public so others can see it, and we can notice each other reading and each other growing. Amen? Okay. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then it talks about if anyone builds on this foundation using all of these different things, it will be shown for what it really is. This is my friend Colin. I put his picture up because Colin just went to be with the Lord. So he is one of my fishing buddies. And I shared at his memorial service yesterday about a few things about his life. One is very diligent, very hardworking, wonderful guy. He worked harder on that boat, getting ready with all of his gear. He wanted to just be the best fisherman possible. But man, was it fun to mess with him. And so Colin, he was hooked into about a 60-pound bluefin tuna in this picture. And I teased him solid for a half hour because it was just, I would say, "How big is that fish, Colin? You know, you should have had it in by now." And he's sweating and he's breathing hard. And I said, "Hey, Colin, is it fun yet?" And he would say, "It's fun." You know, and he's smiling and he's frowning all at the same time. But here's why I talk about Colin. Because on the 18th of December, he was in Hawaii on vacation with his wife. And the next day wasn't feeling that great, and they flew home, ended up in City of Hope, and leukemia took him out on the 29th. Do the math. He did not know 2018 was his year. So here's why I'm telling you this story, because in the service yesterday, it became really, really, really obvious that Colin lived a heck of a life. He loved people well. He served. He built ramps for disabled people. He was honest in all of his business dealings. He represented Jesus like crazy. He loved worship music. He loved leading small groups. Len and Linda were in one of their first small group out here, just the four of you, I think. But just a beautiful man. And I bring that up because none of us know how long we have. And I think about Lauren, Lisa, none of you guys didn't know 2018 was your year. And I think about the borderline friends that went to be with the Lord suddenly. What? So as we look at this coming year, whatever foundation you build on is really important. Because you don't know how long you're going to have to build. And whatever you build on Jesus will last. Whatever you do not build on him, it's not going to last. I don't care what it is. I don't care how noble you think your business project is or this or that relationship. Without him, it ain't going to last. It's just not. And so here's the challenge. As you look at New Year's resolutions, you don't know if you're going to have a year. Maybe think about today. Do you have today? How many of you have today? Raise your hand. The Lord has given you the gift of right now, right? And Lord willing, he'll give you the gift of tomorrow as well. Tomorrow is not a guarantee, but I hope that I have one. But here's the thing. As you look at 2019, think about it one day at a time. Some of us got a word in 2018 that we forgot about. Because we didn't think about it one day at a time. We thought about it for the year. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be this. But what if we think about, Lord, give me a word that represents what you want to do in my life tomorrow. And if I give the Lord my days, guess what? He takes care of the year. Is that right? But if I just try to have these big grandiose, like I'm going to accomplish all of it. No, you're not. One day at a time. That's the AA motto. Am I right? One day is what you have. One day is what you can control and do something with. So I want to challenge, the Lord wants to challenge each of us to think, what is one word that represents what he wants to do in you and through you starting now? And what is one word that represents what he wants to do in you and through you tomorrow, and in you and through you on Tuesday, and in you and through you on Wednesday? Do you want me to keep going? No? If I could do that 365 times. But you get the idea. It's not about some big, unachievable, grandiose, you know, ethereal. No. The Lord wants to give you something concise and simple and helpful and practical and loving. He wants to give you a way to know him better. He wants to give you a way to connect with him. He wants to give you a word that represents how much he loves you and what he wants to see come out of your life this year for your good and for his glory. Does that make sense? So Annie, would you pop up on the keys? So as we look back on 2018, I want to have one person in here just share, what was your word and what did it mean to you as you look back on 2018? And I think it's Len.
My word came to me in 2017. It was pretty obvious. My word was seek, and there were two other words that were associated with a synonymous connect and presence. And I found that during the year, whatever scripture I read or the devotional I read, that word seek came up. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. You know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given. And in Psalm 27, seek his face. And gosh, throughout the year, as I said, I would pick up devotionals, and the Lord said, I want you in my presence. I want you to be connected to me. And he did that. And it's really, I was sharing with Kirk earlier, that for the men's retreat, Michael Sullivan and I were planning that retreat. And Michael came up with the idea, let's keep it simple and let's just have a time where the men can get together and no real program, but just simply be in his presence and seek the Lord. And at that point, I said, oh, yeah, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's our theme for this men's retreat, is to be unplugged and to be in his presence, seeking him.
Thank you, Len. So we have two songs planned. And what's going to happen during this next few minutes is, this is your time with the Lord. So this is not time to stand there and sing because it's the end of a church service. This is your time to come and meet with the Lord. And hopefully that means for many of you that you're going to come up here and you're going to sit or you're going to kneel. You can grab a rock, and sometimes that helps to have one in your hand and just say, like, Lord, what goes on this? Or maybe it just makes sense to sit where you are and just say, Lord, would you show me what you want to do in my life this year? And what's a word that represents that? What's maybe a scripture verse that represents that that you could have as well? And come before him not with anxiety, but with peace and humility. Just say, Lord, you're my loving Father, and I need you. And would you help me to know, you know, some direction for that this year? And he may just give you a word right away and you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's it. Or he may say, my child, I want to spend some time with you. Thanks for noticing me. Let's spend some time today. Let's spend some time tomorrow. Let's spend some time over this next week. And you may not get this concise word for a little while. And that's fine. This is not a contest. Americans love contests. But this is a way of getting to know our Lord better and of allowing him to speak in a very practical way into our lives. So you can sit, you can stand, you can sing, you can pray, you can listen. There are shiny rocks and not shiny rocks, because you are different kinds of people in here. There are black pens and silver pens and other pens, because you are different kinds of people in here. But if you don't get a word that you've written today, at least take a rock with you as a reminder. And mine sat in the cup holder of my car for like 2 weeks a couple years ago. And so just take that with you and put it right in front of you as a reminder of, Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm trusting. Okay? Lord, we ask that you'd speak to us. Thank you for your deep love, Jesus. Thank you for being the living stone that we can build our lives upon. Lord, may we be connected with you in deep and alive and growing ways in 2019. Lord, thank you for giving us today. And today we ask for our daily bread from you, our daily feeding, our daily direction. Lord, give us words that represent what you want to do in your love and in your purpose for each of us. Amen. How do you feel, everybody? Can you feel his presence in your life? There's something about slowing down, singing a song and meaning it, saying, Lord, have your way. He loves that, and we don't do it enough. So let's make that different in 2019, shall we? Let's appreciate all that the Lord is, and let's just go deep in him. I think I know what my word is, but I haven't written it yet, because I want to make sure. And maybe you're with me. Some of you may know, oh yeah, this is it. Some of you may be still percolating. But if you're percolating, grab a rock and take it with you. And here's the next thing. It would be great for us to share. Sometimes you get a word that you don't like. Have you ever had that, some of you? And you feel like, oh my gosh, really? Conciliation or forgiveness? You're like, oh, really? Right? Sometimes that's a real clear indicator that it's from the Lord, if it's one that you would not choose, right? The other thing is this. Sometimes you get a word that you can't share yet. So I've had a few people have that where, you know, it's something that God's doing in you, and you're like, you can't make this public yet, or you don't even know what it means yet. And that's fine. But for all the rest of us, I would love for you to share your word in a way. So here's how we do that. Take a picture of it, and then you can put it on Instagram or Facebook, and you can do a little hashtag. That's a, for you older people, that's a number sign, right? And you do a hashtag, and then you can say Kaneo Church. Or you can do a hashtag, one little word. And what happens is that'll allow me to see what Joni has said, or Naomi, or something. And it's interesting, as we just let that go out, there's a little more accountability, a little bit more known. You know, here's what God's doing in me. And it's interesting, too, Stacy was having a conversation with Donna last night about a similar word that Stacy had last year and Donna may have this year. So sometimes there's like little, you know, connections that you'll have with other people. You say, that's almost like mine. Or, you know, so Kaneo Church and one little word. Okay? So how about a benediction? Go ahead and stand up, everybody. And how about if we hold our rocks in hand, if you have it nearby? Jesus, thank you for being our rock. Thank you for being the foundation of our lives that all else can be built upon. Thank you for giving us today. Thank you for giving us tomorrow. It's a gift from you. And Lord, thank you for these words that you are highlighting in our minds and in our hearts. And may we be faithful to you May we be faithful to walk out these things and to do our part, knowing that, Holy Spirit, you're going to do the rest. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said together, amen. Happy 2019.